This is the Fearless Presentations Podcast, the fastest, easiest way to reduce public speaking fear.
Want to absolutely eliminate public speaking fear? This podcast is the answer. Here's the guy who literally wrote the book on fearless presentations, Doug Stannert.
Welcome back to the Fearless Presentations Podcast, brought to you by fearlesspresentations.com. Hey, just a quick little note, the Fearless Presentations classes, the two-day classes that we teach all over the United States, Canada, Europe, we have new classes coming up every really 3 to 4 months in each one of the cities that we teach classes in. So if you're interested in finding out information about any of these programs, just go to fearlesspresentations.com. There's always some great information about the upcoming classes, and actually you can get a lot of information about classes that we've done in the past. One of the things that I kind of spent some time working on this week was our, we call it our past participant quote page. It's basically just a page where when folks go through the Fearless Presentations class, they can come onto our website and post a comment about how much they like the class. And there's hundreds upon hundreds of these things. And one of the things that I kind of noticed was that out of the last, I would say probably, 100 or so, 150, 200 people that have come onto the website, every one of them have given us like a 5-star rating, which is really cool. I mean, it's something that is really, really unique in training, because if you think about it, when most people go and fill out a form, you know, most people don't go out of their way to fill out a form on a website unless they're upset. And so these are all people who felt so strongly about the program and how much it had benefited them that they actually took time out of their busy schedule, went on the website to put a posting up that would let us know how much they enjoyed the program. So if you are interested in learning how to speak better in front of a group, reduce that public speaking fear, become a more professional speaker, and maybe even make money speaking, then the Fearless Presentations class is very, very helpful.
So, Doug, what's today's hot topic?
So today's hot topic is actually a continuation of one that we did on the last podcast. Last podcast, we talked about different places that you can go to actually practice your public speaking skills, because that's one of the things that folks ask us after they go through our public speaking classes. They say, okay, how do I get more? How do I practice? Where can I go to continue to grow? Basically, the analogy I like to use here is it's kind of like, you know, if you're learning to golf, you know, I mean, if you just go out and play golf every day, you'll learn to be a better golfer, but it's actually a lot faster and a lot easier sometimes to just go to the putting green for a few hours or for a few minutes and get some hitting practice in and that kind of thing, versus taking the time to go and spend hours doing a full game. That those little practice sessions can be very helpful. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to that last podcast, it can be very, very helpful. So in the last podcast, I mentioned, though, that one of the things I'd be doing in a future session would be to kind of talk about how you can actually make money speaking in front of a group. And so we're going to break this into two parts, I think, just because there's so much material here. And a lot of this material, by the way, was taken from my book, Mastering Presentations. It's published by the Wiley Publication Group. In that book, I talked about a number of different ways that you can use public speaking to build your professional prowess, really, to be seen as the expert in your industry and to have folks kind of see you as being prominent in your industry. And a lot of these ways are great ways to actually increase your income. Now, what I'm going to talk about today are a lot of the different ways that you can kind of market yourself better and become really the expert in your industry. And then in the next session, I think we'll talk about more ways about how you can actually become a paid speaker. So if you want to be a keynote speaker, if you want to do seminars or workshops or something like that, we'll kind of talk about a few ways that you can kind of get started in the industry in the next podcast. On this one, though, these are some great ways that you can get started as a speaker in ways that are it's a little easier than trying to organize your own seminars or try to get people to pay you a fee to come in and speak. Because a lot of times what you're going to be doing in the beginning is you're going to be giving away a lot of free speeches in order to promote something that will actually make you money. So one of the best ways that I've ever found to do this is to work a lot with associations and go to, especially as a speaker at association meetings or as a breakout speaker in some of the big meetings. So like for instance, in my industry, in the training industry, we've got ATD, it used to be ASTD. ATD is a huge, huge training association. So just about every human resource person and every trainer in the world is a member of ATD somewhere. And they have these big, huge conventions in different cities every year that will have, tens of thousands of people that will attend. But each little region has their own little meetings. I say little, but, there are going to be hundreds, maybe 1,000 people or so at each one of the regional meetings. And then each one of the smaller areas will have their meetings as well. So every time one of these associations will do one of these big, huge conventions or meetings, they're looking for speakers. And a lot of times they'll actually have it right there on their website, a call for speakers. And you can fill out a web form a lot of times just with details about the topic that you want to present on. And if the folks think that your topic is something that their members might be interested in, they'll kind of call you. These are a great way to kind of get practice. Now, I would encourage you to kind of start small. Start with your local association. So like here, I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So there's a Dallas ATD and a Fort Worth ATD, and there's a Houston and a San Antonio and an Austin. So if I were going to start over from scratch and want to be a speaker, a brand new speaker anyway, I'd probably start with those local kind of association chapters and reach out to them and let them know what I do. And we'll let them know my topic. They're more likely to kind of pick me up as a speaker. By the way, I mentioned ATD. That's just because that's the industry that I'm in. I'm in training, but like for instance, in human resources, you've got SHRM, the Society of Human Resource Managers. You've got it, pretty much every industry that's out there will have an association. And if you're not sure what your associations are in your industry, it's real easy. Just go to Google and just type in whatever the name of your industry is and just type in association at the end of it. And you'll get a list of sometimes, 5, 6, 7, 10, 15, 20 different associations that you can possibly work with. A good example of this is, one time we were really focusing early on when we started doing team building events in our company. We wanted to kind of get the word out fairly quickly. And so we figured talking to event planners would be a good way to do that. So we went on the internet and just found that there's 10, 15 different event planning industries or event planning associations out there. And we just started contacting them. Some of them we became members of, and some of them we just kind of we bought advertising in their magazines and stuff like that. So it takes a little bit of legwork, but not a lot, by the way. It just takes a little bit of legwork to really get in with the associations. The neat thing about the association speaking gigs that you can pick up is that once you do a good job at one of them, the word spreads pretty dramatically throughout that association. I mean, the purpose of an association is you get a bunch of like-minded people that are all talking with each other to share great ideas. So when they find a gem, when they find something that is beneficial to their members, they talk to other chapters. And so if you do really well in your industry at a local Dallas association meeting, then there's a good chance that the Fort Worth person will hear about you before the meeting's over, and then so will the folks in Austin and San Antonio and that kind of thing. So and that'll happen in just about any city, especially if you happen to be in an area where there's a lot of major metropolitan areas kind of consolidated. Like for instance, if you're up in the Northeast, New York, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Boston, those are huge, huge, huge cities. And they're surrounded by really big metropolitan areas all around them. So like between Dallas and Boston, you've got Hartford. Hartford is a big metropolitan area as well. So they're all over. So and every one of these is going to have their own chapter. So if you happen to do well in Hartford, there is a chance that you might be able to get in with somebody in an association in New York City or in Boston or something like that. So keep that in mind. The association meetings are really, really helpful. So after you have a really good good speech and you've been able to kind of practice it a little bit and you get really good, then association meetings is a good way to kind of get the word out. Another similar type of venue is trade shows. Now, a lot of these trade shows are going to occur at the association meetings. The neat thing about trade shows, though, is that you don't necessarily have to be invited to do something. Like, I'll give you a good example. When I first started the Leaders Institute, there was a really good size entrepreneur association or association meeting that would take place in Fort Worth every year, and it was a big deal. I mean, it was something that the city of Fort Worth spent a lot of time and a lot of money on to attract, and they had entrepreneurs from all over the region that would come in, and so we were talking about tens of thousands of people that would go through the Fort Worth Convention Center. So basically, since I was brand new, I had a brand new company and I was the only employee at that time. So I didn't have a whole lot of income. I didn't have a whole lot of marketing, advertising dollars and that kind of thing to spend. And nobody had ever heard of me at that point. So since I was a brand new company. So basically all I did was I purchased two trade show booth slots anyway, side by side. And I put my table up at one of them. And then in the second slot, I just put a bunch of chairs and a whiteboard, and I put a sign up, you know, but I would just kind of write on the whiteboard. I had handwritten on the whiteboard, you know, at 11:15, I'm going to be speaking on how to remember names. At 12:10, there's going to be a speech about how to reduce public speaking fear. At 1:15, there's going to be a speech about, you know, whatever the topics were that I was doing at the time. I got to say, if you're doing a trade show kind of speech like this, it's a little awkward because there's a lot of stuff going on around you. And so you have to have some pretty good confidence to be able to deliver a presentation with all the distractions that are around you. And the other thing is you have to realize that at the very beginning, you know, if you say you're going to be giving a speech at 11:10 or 11:15 or something like that, there's a good chance at 11:10 or 11:15, there's nobody going to be standing there or nobody's going to be sitting in your seats. But once the first person kind of sits down, then you'll get a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth, that kind of thing. It also helps if you actually have somebody else in the booth. That was one of the challenges with me when I did this, because since I was first starting out, I didn't have somebody to kind of man my booth while I was speaking. So having two or three people at your booth can be very, very helpful in those kind of situations. In fact, that's kind of one of the things that we do now when we do trade shows is if we're going to have something interactive, we're going to have one person at the interactive part and then we'll have a couple people at the table. And that works really well to kind of feed people over, because then you can have folks standing at your table that will say, hey, by the way, the speaker is going to start in about 6 minutes, so you probably want to get a seat because they're going to fill up here pretty quickly in the next few minutes. And then so basically when you start to speak, there may not be a lot of folks kind of sitting down, but speak anyway. It's awkward, it's weird, but what will happen is if you kind of look at folks that are looking at your table, a lot of times they'll come and kind of gather around, and you'll get a few more people gathering around and a few more people kind of gathering around. So it's a, like I said, it's a weird kind of awkward feeling in the very beginning, but once you get, you know, a minute in or 2 minutes in, it can turn into a really good way to promote yourself and to promote your organization or whatever it is that you're trying to market there. Now the next part, I'm going to spend a little bit more time on the next part, because this is one of the things that can be really, really, really tricky. And I used to call this free seminars, but if you read the Mastering Presentations book, I actually titled this part of the chapter a little different. I called it Marketing Seminars by Reservation, because there's a big, huge difference between just throwing out a free seminar and then doing a seminar specifically for marketing purposes and taking reservations when you do it. And I'll give you a great example of this from my own personal kind of failure anyway. when I first started, one of the early things that I did was I'd been teaching leadership training at this point, probably about 3 or 4 years or so. And so I started to get a really nice client list. So we had a series of a bunch of companies that would hire us to come in, and they would hire me to do consulting with them and teach leadership training, that kind of thing. And I started noticing that a lot of the folks that were coming through my leadership class, especially the public classes, when individuals would come to my public classes, I started noticing that one of the things that they were most interested in was the public speaking part, the reducing public speaking fear. And that's really how I created the Fearless Presentations class. But the first instance of the Fearless Presentations class didn't actually go over very well. So I figured, I mean, if I'm teaching leadership classes and I got 20 people in my leadership class and 18 of them are telling me that they're really interested in reducing public speaking fear, that if I offered a free kind of introductory seminar about how to reduce public speaking fear to the public, and I could probably get hundreds, maybe thousands of people show up to this. I mean, it's free. So, you know, who wouldn't show up, right? And I spent about 2 months, 2.5 months or so promoting the heck out of this free seminar. I went and I rented a room from a local hotel in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And which was a pretty good size expense. And I wasn't sure exactly how many people were going to show up, but I figured if I got 100, that would be a really good way to kind of market. So I had the room set up for 100 people. And for the previous month and a half, 2 months, 2.5 months, basically what I was doing was I would go out to every place that I could speak. A lot of those locations that I mentioned on the last podcast. So I was going to Chamber of Commerce meetings. I was going to the business card exchanges. I was at business breakfasts. I'm basically anywhere. And I bet I spoke in that 2.5 months, I bet I spoke maybe to, I'd say about 15 or 20 different groups, like Rotary clubs and Kiwanis clubs and that kind of thing. And I bet I promoted that particular free seminar to 10,000 maybe or so people. And every time I would go and speak at one of these things, I would hand out a brochure, a little flyer that folks could kind of keep with the date and that kind of thing. So basically I'm excited because I'm thinking, you know, out of 10,000 people, I'm surely to get 100, 200, maybe, if I could get even more than that, though, that would be pretty awesome. So I've got my assistant at the time was my wife. She was actually an instructor for us, but so I had her manning the door, and I'm kind of around the stage area waiting for the crowd to kind of show. The event was supposed to start at 6:30, and at 6:29 I had one person in the audience. It was like one person. So, and now I'm starting to panic because I just assumed that by this point we would have had, you know, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 people, right? So there's only one person. So I kind of made small talk with this one young lady that was in the audience, and she and I talked for a good 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes or so. And I kind of looked at my watch, and now it's like 6:35. It's like 5 minutes after the start time, and she's still the only person. And another 10 minutes, another awkward, really, really awkward 10 minutes go by, and she's still the only person there. And eventually I had to kind of tell her, hey, I'm sorry, I gotta cancel it. She said, oh, you're not going to do the seminar. I'm like, well, no, you know, I mean, I'll help you out. So I actually stayed there with that lady for, I don't know, probably 20 or 30 minutes and kind of taught her a little bit of stuff. So it was worth her time. But it was an embarrassing kind of failure. And I learned a couple of really, really big lessons that day. Anyway, the first thing is that most people will put value on what you're offering based on the value that you put on it, right? So if it's a free seminar, people automatically think free seminar, nothing's really free in this world. That means I can go to this thing, but they're going to try to screw me out of something. They're going to try to sell me something. They're going to try to market to me. They're going to strong arm me. And so you're going to get a lot of resistance. So free seminars are not necessarily the best way to kind of get a lot of people to show up. The second thing that I learned was that if you're going to do some type of marketing seminar, you definitely want to take some reservations. You don't just want to kind of show up blind, not knowing exactly how many possible people that will actually show up. So when I started taking reservations for my marketing seminars, that's when the number of people really started to increase. The number of people that we were getting at these things really started to increase. So basically, we would offer a limited number of seats. You know, we would say that we only have 30 seats available in this seminar. And we would, and a lot of times it's a good idea if you're going to do one of these to actually tell them why you're doing it for free, right? So like, for instance, instead of saying this is a free public speaking seminar, I started telling people that this was an introductory seminar to the leadership training program that we teach. And in this introductory seminar that we're going to give it to you for free, we're going to give you 10 ways to reduce public speaking fear. So that was one of the kind of things. Folks were less likely to be resistant to coming to a free thing if they know the value that they're going to get, the thing that they're going to get for in the free seminar, but also that they know up front what you're going to try to get them to do next, right? So they're much more resistant to it. They know going in what you're going to try to promote to them, and so for folks that are a little hesitant to kind of go to one of these things, they might come with their guard up a little bit to because they don't want to get sold something, but they're more likely to attend anyway. The other thing about these free or these marketing seminars by reservation is that however many people that you want to show up, you need to have a bunch more people than that actually reserve space. So like, for instance, if you want to end up with 50 people in your seminar, you want to take reservations for maybe 125. So because most people, when it's a free seminar, if something else comes up, they'll say, I'm not going to really lose anything if I don't go. So I'll go to the next one, right? So it's free. They'll do these things again. So I'll just go to the next one. So they don't make it a priority like they would if they were paying to come. Now, there are a lot of industries that do really, really well with free seminars. Today, the free seminars are a whole lot different than what they were when I was starting out, 20 years ago. Now, most of the time when folks are going to do free seminars, they're going to be like webinars or something like that. Now, they're not going to be up where we have to rent space in a hotel or something like that. However, I do know that there are a lot of industries that still do really, really well with the free introductory seminars. Like, for instance, you see a lot of these in like financial planning. So the neat thing about using a free seminar or a marketing seminar as a way to get clients for financial planning is that there really has to be a lot of trust with the person that allows you to invest their money for them, right? So because that trust value is very important, seeing a person up on stage communicating good ideas that make sense to you can really build a lot of rapport and actually build trust in that person that's actually speaking. So it's a fantastic way to build that trust and rapport with your potential clients if you're doing it that way. But that's not the only industry. I mean, just about any industry could be used you could give free seminars as a way to kind of help people. So let's say you're a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and you could do a free seminar on how to reduce stress in the workplace or something like that. And the neat thing about doing those types of things is that you can get big companies to actually hire you to come in, and you can do it for free as a way to generate additional business, or you can actually charge a fee to do it. If you're a dentist, you could give a free teeth whitening seminar or how to, that you can. And I mean, obviously, if you call it a free teeth whitening seminar, you're not going to get nearly as many people as if you market it a little bit better. So you can you might market it as a way to find a third party view of the best teeth whitening products on the market, or something like that. Something that makes it to where the folks that see that there's some type of value in that, you're not trying to sell them something. But, knowing that they see you as the expert, and if somebody really wants to have their teeth whitened, and they're likely going to want to have a dentist do that, they might actually stick around and sign up to be one of your potential patients or customers, that kind of thing. So, but like I said, you can do this in just about any industry. It's just a matter of, having a good plan and good marketing or good verbiage that you're using in your marketing to get people really interested in what you're doing and make people want to attend. The neat thing about this is that you can experiment a lot, especially with the technology today. You can do with webinars and YouTube and stuff like that we have now that we didn't have even, 5, 10, 15 years ago. A lot of the technology has changed. You can experiment a lot with this kind of stuff and make it just right. So in the past, if you want to do a live seminar, you know, that's a little nerve-wracking, especially the first time you do it. But with YouTube or webinars, heck, you can actually record yourself and edit those things down to where they sound really perfect and really professional, and get, you know, the really good software packages that will make you sound good. They, you know, all of that stuff is available now on the internet for, you know, a lot of times a very low fee or a very little fee anyway. So we live in a great time to be able to promote yourself through your speaking and through your ability to share your ideas and to share your content with your potential customers. So I would encourage you to do as much of this as possible. The more you do, the more comfortable you're going to get doing it, and the better reputation you're going to have amongst your peers and your potential customers and your potential clients. So hopefully this is good information for you. If you ever have ideas about things that you want me to cover on the Fearless Presentations podcast, you can always just email me at podcast@fearlesspresentations.com. So it's podcast@fearlesspresentations.com. And for a list of all of the past podcasts that we've done, you can always go to the fearlesspresentations.com website. If you just type in the word podcast, they'll all come up. But every once in a while, what we'll do is about every 10 podcasts or so, we do a kind of a summary of the different podcasts. And so those are an easy way to kind of go and see what ideas that we've covered in the past. And you can kind of click on the links to make it easier to find a lot of the ideas. So keep listening to the podcast. If you're getting great value out of this, by the way, make sure and give us a nice review on iTunes, because that's a fantastic way to help us kind of promote this so that other people are able to hear us and find us on the internet. So thanks again for listening to the Fearless Presentations podcast.
Subscribe to this podcast for new public speaking secrets each week.